On Mondays, we read from your email. Our segment on Daylight Savings Time reminded listener Richard Passavant of how tricky it can be to schedule meetings in the Midwest. I live in Chicago and used to cover portions of Indiana for my business. Every year, the time change would mess me up when heading down for meetings or conference calls with customers in Indianapolis. In fact, one time I was 2 hours late for a meeting due to the fact that I couldn't remember whether they were on Eastern or Central, and the time had changed between when I scheduled the meeting and the meeting itself. Red Weatherall of Alameda, California, reminds us that elsewhere time can work differently. I'm amazed that none of the speakers mentioned the British experience with double summer time during World War II. During the war, I remember that the first hour was made permanent year-round, and a second hour was added in the summer months. That was known as double summer time. I do not know the dates, but there must have been some record of this that would be a much more definitive guide to our lawmakers than all the brouhaha about personal inconvenience, etc. As I remember, it was just done, and we made the best of it without a fuss. During our farewell to actor James Doohan, Star Trek producer Robert Justman remembered Doohan's insistence that the ship's engineer be Scottish, but said Doohan never explained why. Listener Dudley Chapman of Medina, Ohio, proposed a theory. Much of Star Trek was modeled after what happens on a seagoing warship. It's kind of lore, at least for World War II, that the best ship's engineers in a time of crisis were Scots. They were known as real can-do guys who could make anything work under the stressful situations with limited resources aboard a ship at war. The exchanges between Captain Kirk and Scotty were not that much different than what took place between captains of submarines in World War II that were damaged in battle and needed to make headway as soon as possible. And finally, during our show with Elizabeth Reut on her book Garbage Land, listener Ramon Lopez wondered whether it was legal for Navy ships to dump their waste overboard. Well, we turn to Navy environmental policy to learn that, quote, environmental planning must be meticulous to achieve compliance, avoid unnecessary environmental degradation, and maintain public support for the continued use of operating areas. Additionally, it requires that no sewage be dumped within 3 nautical miles of shore and that plastics are not to be discharged. You can email your comments and your questions to us. The address is totn@npr.org. Please tell us where you're writing from and give us a tip on how to pronounce your name.